Thursday night. That's right. Get me Thursday night. How about that? That's right. Totally Driven Radio. It's Totally Driven Thursday, and it is Thanksgiving, and we're doing a special show tonight. Normally, we're live every Thursday night here on Totally Driven Radio. We have our, you know, the whole cast of characters, myself, Bay Ragney, and my good friends, Mr. Jimmy Giannetti and Nick Wilkinson, and usually Kristen Burt from Hollywood and whoever our guest star of the week. But since it's Thanksgiving, we're actually taking technically the night off. We're taking the night off from doing a live program, and we're bringing you a pre-tape show, but it is still Thanksgiving, and actually, I literally just got done my Thanksgiving dinner, and I am so freaking stuffed, I'm going into my turkey food coma. I actually have food sweats. That's how stuffed I am. Or, as my daughter said, maybe it's the wine. Who knows? It could be either or both. A beautiful combination. I hope everybody's having an amazing Thanksgiving with whoever it may be, your family, your friends, your significant other, whoever it is. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for everybody out there. Thankful for my family, my friends, my wife, my daughters, my stepson. Thankful for everybody, and I love you all. So without that, you know, without further ado, let's get into the whole reason that we're here bothering you on Thanksgiving night. And that's for the love of music. That's right, for the love of rock and roll, because the music can never stop. The music can never die, and we're going to crank it up. That's right, that's what we're going to do here on Totally Driven Radio tonight. Actually, I've been sitting on this interview for a couple weeks. I've been trying to find, like, the right time to play it. And going into this past weekend, I'm like, all right, well, we're not going to be live on Thursday. And my interviews with this killer freaking kick-ass band from Maryland called the Tube Freaks. And I'm like, T is for turkey, T is for Thanksgiving, and T is for the Tube Freaks. So that brings you to our live, well, pre-taped, our Thursday Thanksgiving Tube Freaks special. So I got to interview with our lead singer, Paul, like I said, a few weeks ago. And we had an amazing conversation, and we totally just hit it off right off the bat. And it just reminds me of some dude who I would probably know from high school and grow up together, hanging out, drinking beers, enjoying good music, and just enjoying this crazy circus thing called life. And the band is amazing to boot. They're kind of grungy, they're kind of metal, they're kind of hard rock, they're kind of surfer, stoner rock. I mean, they're just everything mixed into a blender and coming out with a kick-ass hybrid of Tube Freaks music. So the fact that they're from Maryland and they're close here to Philly too, they even have an even more special place in my heart. So we talk about all that. We talk about the music business, we talk about Tube Freaks, we talk about videos, which they have a shitload of. So check them out. Make sure you go on our YouTube channel. Just look up the Tube Freaks, and it's with two E's. Make sure you spell that right. Tube Freaks with two E's. And they have like 7 or 8 or 9 videos, and we talk about how come they were able to do that many, and they're pretty freaking awesome. So, and they have an album out now. They have a new album out, actually. They came out early this year. It's called The Dry Tide. So let's play some music. Let's do that. Let's play a couple tunes, and then we'll come back and do an interview and play some more music. So let's do this. Let's kick it off. This is the lead-off track off the Dry Tide album. It's called Wicked Sky. Oh, and there's a video for this as well. Check it out.
Down the river, get the tide.
there, and there you go. And that was the tune called Moto Ride, which also there's a video for that as well. Check them out. Make sure you go YouTube, Tube Freaks, and just sit and enjoy, man. They're fun videos, they're entertaining videos, and you got great background music to go with these enjoyable watches. So, all right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take a commercial break now. So give me 3 minutes of your time. Let me pay my bills. Let me keep the Tube Freak music going. And on the flip side, we're going to go right into my interview with their lead singer, Paul Van Valkenburg. I hope I said that right. And, yeah, then we'll play some more Tube Freaks music. So, everybody, stay tuned. And if you enjoy the Tube Freaks, they're like a fun band. They really are. I mean, they're killer music, but they're a fun band. You can see, like, their comedic side in some of these videos and all. So, I'm sure they'll like one of our sponsors. And you would, if you enjoy them, you'll enjoy this guy, too. He's freaking just hysterical. His name's Chris Fraley. That's F-R-A-L-E-Y. And he's got a website, chrisfraleypresents.com. He's freaking, like I said, he's hysterical. He's funny. He's totally driven. And he's a superhero. Check him out. chrisfraleypresents.com.
I'm black man, saving mankind, one stereotype at a time.
To the black, my beer. To the corner of Martin Luther King Street and Malcolm X Boulevard, pronto.
Will black man make it to the crime on time? Or will he be on CPT? Stay tuned at chrisfraleypresents.com.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin on the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your ghoul friend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Hello?
Paul.
Yes, hello, Bay.
Good, man. How are you doing?
Fine. How you doing?
Good, good. You know, it must be like Maryland week, because I just interviewed Speed from Silvertongue last week. So I'm working on Maryland.
Oh, kick ass. We're playing a show with them next month, man. Those guys are great.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw you guys are doing the Sleazy Slimy series show.
That's right. We're really excited about it.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Now, have you known them guys for a while, or?
You know, I've been out to see them a few times, but we've actually never met in person. But we're dying to get together with them because we think that they'd be a great band for us to team up on some shows with. You know, they do a lot out in Pennsylvania, you know, different parts of the state. And
right.
We're looking to, yeah, our 2018 schedule, we're definitely doing a lot more out of town, and we want to do stuff like that ourselves.
Yeah, I saw, like, I was checking in, and I saw, like, you guys already got some stuff booked, like, for 2018, and it's, like, all over the place. Like, you guys are going, like, to Arizona and, what was it, Texas, I think, and Florida. So you guys are, like, looking to really branch out.
Absolutely. I mean, we love it here in Maryland, you know, D.C., Baltimore. But we just are at that point where, you know, we feel that to grow, we really need to get into other markets. And so, you know, we've done some stuff to make some connections in those other areas. And the Texas thing is a big stage that's right by the South by Southwest Festival. It's not officially sanctioned, but we're applying to that too. But it's right there, and then the Jersey Shore Festival and the Arizona; those are emerging artist festivals. And Florida, we spoke with these folks that are they have a radio show and they do events at the State Theater down there. So we got that one through a connection. And so, yeah, we're just looking to get out on the road and grow. And we think that will look good for industry people as well to see that, you know, we're willing to travel.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. Now, are you guys looking to, like, put together, like, little tour runs to get out to these places and work your way back? Or are you just going to do one-off shows, you think? Or?
I think a combination of both. So, but Florida, like if it's within driving distance, we're going to try to build a little tour around it. You know, so Florida, we're looking at places in Carolinas and Georgia and Virginia and stuff. But like the one in Arizona and maybe even Texas, it's kind of far away. So we probably fly out there and maybe hit a few shows locally and then fly back. And so it just depends probably.
Nice. Yeah, that would definitely be cool, man.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, it's one of those things where once you, for an unsigned band, when you're signed and you've got the label support, you can go and do those more like 25 out of 30 days in a month type of thing.
Right.
But, you know, when you're not signed and, you know, the reality is that guys have to do other things during the day like work and stuff. You know, it makes it a little bit harder to do those full-on tours where you're completely gone for a month or two. I mean, we'd love to, but just, you know, economically it becomes an issue.
Yeah, that dreaded work thing and money usually seems to be the blockage to so many, I don't know if you want to say dreams or aspirations or just getting in the way of the real life, right?
Yeah, why does that work always have to get in the way of everything?
I don't know, man. Tired of it. Tired of that work stuff.
Tired of that work.
Now, I'm up here in the Philly area. Have you guys ever been up here to Philly?
You know, back in the day we probably did, but we haven't in this, you know, iteration or cycle, but we... You know, Ben had mentioned to me that you do, you know, promote shows up there. And we would love to come to Philly. We're 2 hours from there, and, you know, we'd love to come up there. We actually sent our information over to a small club recently, and this was before I knew I was going to be talking with you. But
okay. Do you know what club it was by chance? Do you remember offhand? Or?
Yeah, it was called Kung Fu Necktie.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a cool little place.
Is that a decent place to play?
Yeah, yeah. They actually they get some bigger name shows in there, too. Yeah, that's a cool place.
Uh-huh. Well, any other suggestions as to anything that we could do? I mean, and we can, you know, definitely even try to promote and bring some people with us, pack up a few carloads type of thing. But what's the Philly scene like?
do you want honesty? It's interesting.
We understand that it's really hard for a band to come in that not from there, but, you know.
Here's what I've seen. Like, I mean, I've been here all my life, and I've been in the scene. I've been part of the scene. I've played the scene more recently in this past year, promoted shows in the scene, tried bringing outside bands in, and I don't see a lot of people coming out to the shows, bottom line. There's just really not – I'm seeing more – like with the shows, I'm seeing, you know, there's people in the crowd, but it's more or less the other bands. And I'm also seeing not a lot of support from the other bands because there's a local band here called Mach 22, which is like one of the big bands on the scene right now. And I'm good friends with a couple of the guys in that band. And the drummer just put up on Facebook the other day that he was at a show over the weekend or something, and like, none of the opening bands stuck around for the headliner, and I kind of see the same thing go on. It sucks. It really does. There's just not a lot of support I see going on right now.
Yeah. You know, the same type of thing happens area, too. And so I don't know if it's something where, you know, it's related to the fact that it's bigger cities, and so... Who knows, maybe in the small towns where they don't have as much to do that they'll stick around and watch two or three bands.
You know what, too? And that's something, too, where, I mean, there's a lot of the clubs in the area, they've kind of, there's like kind of over an abundance of clubs somewhat where there's so many shows now on each night. And the bands are spread out. So the other bands that would kind of, like, be there to support each other, they kind of can't because they're playing as well. And they're competing against each other. And so it's kind of like, yeah, it's splitting the scene from what I see. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we see a lot of that same type of thing in Baltimore. And, you know, it's just unfortunate, and you have to do what you can to navigate the waters.
Right.
I mean, I'd like to get your take on this, and I don't know if this is a part of the interview or anything, but, you know, we've seen other bands that even talked about it internally where they'll basically will buy their way onto some national shows or national tours, you know, just to get that exposure.
The whole pay-to-play thing.
Dealt with? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I never did that. I personally, I feel bad. I would feel bad charging a band to play on a show because you guys are, especially an out-of-town band who's out there. And I know you're fighting to get that gas money to fill the van back up, and you're selling merch to put food in your belly and cover your ass to get to the next town. So I don't personally. I mean, maybe I'm too nice or too nice of a person or a promoter to feel that's right to charge a band to you know what I mean to play on a show.
Yeah, I know it seems crazy and backwards, but I've heard of that happening.
It's taken place. Now, I don't know of it taking place here in Philly personally, but I know, like, out in L.A., absolutely stuff like that is going on big time. I shouldn't say that, because there is the way they're doing the pay-to-play thing here in Philly is some promoters will make a band, they have to sell 40, 50 tickets. And let's face it, who can really do that? I mean, that's a lot.
Well, yeah, so that's what they have us do in Baltimore, and, you know, sell 50 tickets. And we actually are pretty good at hustling, and so, you know, we don't have a problem selling 50 tickets, but what happens to us is, number one, half of these people, well, they're all our friends, and so they're right. All like, hey, man, can't you give me a ticket? And so you end
right.
up buying the tickets for your friends. And
yep.
But the bigger problem, and this is exactly what's leading us into wanting to go out of town next year, is that let's say we bring 50 people to the club that were our friends. That's great for the club. They sell some drinks. But we, as a band, we don't grow at all because the people that are there already know who we are. They're already on our Facebook page. They already have our
right.
album. And so
right.
So we look at it and we say, well, heck, we're going and spending $300-$400 to bring our 50 friends here to some club in Baltimore. What if we could take that $300? Like, we opened for Fuel this last summer, and it was great
okay.
because we got to play in front of their fans, and we
sure.
picked up all of these new fans. And we didn't have to pay for that one. They paid us a couple $100. So it was really good, but it was kind of a one-time deal.
Right.
But we were like, well, if we're going to pay $300 to bring our own friends to Baltimore, why wouldn't we go to Fuel and say, hey, Fuel, can we open for you in Philly, and we'll give you the $300? And it's the same amount of money. And now we're getting to play in front of Fuel, in front of 200 people from Philly that like to rock.
Right, right.
You know, so it's kind of a twisted mentality, you know. But the ticket thing is, a lot of bands, they just don't want to hustle. And we don't mind hustling, but it's just that when we hustle, we don't grow anyway.
And here's something weird too now, and I don't know if you guys experienced this, like the last show I just promoted was 2 weekends ago. I did this Halloween show, and I did two tribute bands, and I had an original band on. And what happened was I had this show booked literally for about 7-8 months. Like, I had the whole idea in my head. I had an Alice Cooper, local Alice Cooper tribute band, and brand new friends of mine put together a local ghost tribute band. So I'm like, oh, shit, this is perfect for Halloween. So I had put this together, like, back in March at this one club in Philly. Well, here in June or July, this club shut down, went out of business. So I was kind of screwed. So I moved it to this club in Delaware. And the original band was like, look, we're the ones that handle this club. We book it, so, you know, we want to be on the show. I'm like, you know what? I don't care. Cool. Works for me. So that's what I did. So meanwhile, I had these tickets on sale for 4 or 5 months. I didn't have no advance sales, and between myself pushing it and the bands pushing the hell out of it too, I can't even say they didn't push it. They pushed the shit out of it. I had zero advance sales until 24 hours before the show. And that's when I ended up getting, like, 15 advance sales. And I ended up having, like, 50 total sales for the thing, which I ended up losing money because I guaranteed the tribute bands, you know. So it's kind of a crazy thing. You think something's going to do good, and it just doesn't. And, yeah, it's just a messed up thing right now. I don't know.
It is. And you know what? You're talking about that was Saturday the 28th, I bet.
Correct. Correct.
That was the same day we did a show. We did the exact same thing. We thought 6 months in advance, oh, let's do a Halloween show. And
right.
it turned out everybody thought that, and their parties were that night. And we had the hardest time getting anybody to come out. And even the club owner was like, this was the most horrible night for other things going on. And so, you know, it's just like you said, you think, oh, well, this will be a good idea. And it turns out, well, just some random day would probably have been better than that.
Right, right.
But, you know, who's to know that in advance? And then, like you said, you're sticking your neck out on the line with these guarantees for these bands. And so it's like, it's tough, man. It is.
And then, like, even in the past, like, you know, I've done some shows where I had, like, you know, some touring bands come in. And they're just like you guys, unsigned touring bands who I've met through doing the show and trying to help them out as they're putting stuff together to do little tours and all. And, you know, I give them a small guarantee, and I feel bad because as good as they are and as much as I enjoy them, they really didn't draw nobody. I mean, they draw 2-3 people, and then I have to give them a guarantee, and then it takes from the local bands that drew people. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. Then the local bands get pissed because their pay got cut, and they're, you know.
It's
an interesting scene. It really is.
I've seen some bands, and we've tried to do this a little bit too. One of the things you can do is try and trade shows, you know, where we'll come open for you guys in Philly, you guys come open for us down here, that type of thing.
Right.
That can actually work a little bit, but you still have to yell at all of your own friends and be like, hey, don't leave. We invited this band in here from wherever. Yeah. We did it with a band from Kentucky. So, you know, we were begging people to come see them.
Right, you know? Right.
Because otherwise they'll do the same thing to them that they would do to the other local bands. They'll see you and then they'll just leave.
And leave, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, and you know, it's funny because one of the things I really think needs to happen, and I think shows really need to be started earlier. And it kind of like solidified this whole idea I think is something that needs to be really homed in on by the clubs, is because friends of mine, they went on tour, I guess it was late last year, over in Europe. And when they came back, I was talking to the guitar player, and he was telling me, he's like, dude, like, I was nervous as hell. He's like, when they gave us it was a 2-week tour, we played 14 dates in a row, and I'm thinking to myself, who's coming out on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to these clubs? And the promoters were like, trust us. He said, and every night was packed. He said, but mind you, every show started between 6 and 7 p.m. He's like, this way people are in early, they have a 2-3 band show tops, and they're out and they're home by 10 o'clock. And I think that's really something that really needs to be focused on.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's totally the way you got to do it these days. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, if people want to hang out and drink and party at the bar, then nothing's stopping them. But come out and see the bands, and you know, then it's your discretion if you want to stay or go afterwards. This way, everybody can stay for all the bands.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense, and something needs to be shaken up, because like you said, people, they don't want to go out and be out at 1 and 2 in the morning, and then they have to drive home half-wasted, cops on their tail, you know, halfway across town. And, so it does make sense, you know, that sleazy, slimy show that we're doing, that's on a Sunday afternoon, and I think it actually is a pretty good time, you know, where people can come out in the middle of the day and go late. So stuff like that, to make things different, you know, it's definitely a challenge these days.
Absolutely, absolutely. So now, like more about you guys, you had a new album that came out earlier this year, Dry Tide, which is actually your third album.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys actually went through like a whole kind of like lineup change before the album, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a long story, but to make it short, our original guitar player, Sean Vickers, is a fabulous guy. He was no longer able to stay with the band, you know, for some personal reasons. And so really it was just replacing him is what we started with. So we found the lead guitar player, Brian. And so because the last album we were a three-piece, and for this album, actually, a lot of it was kind of recorded that way, too. But so it was really weird because the guys, the new guys, joined right when the album was coming out. But we had an opportunity to pick up these two guys. And so the reason we added the two additional guys were that instead of me playing bass, having a bass player allows me to be more of a traditional front man. And I, so when we play live, I like to run around and go crazy, and like I'm, you know, pretty active. Where when I had to play bass, I had to stand in one spot. So we got the bass player so that I could go back to my roots of kind of being a lunatic. and then the other thing is that all of our music, if you listen to it, you hear all the harmonies. Well, we never had anyone who could sing those live with us, and the guitar player that joined us is a great singer. And so now when we play live, we do have the harmonies. So it makes a huge difference. Not to mention that both of these new guys bring some amazing skills to the band. John, the bass player, is a great business person. And Todd, the guitar player, singer guy, he's so creative. He does video editing. I don't know if you saw any of our YouTube videos that were really cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so he had a major hand in doing that. And he also has written a whole new group of songs. This guy can write songs like nothing. And so we already have a whole new group of songs together to do another album, but a lot of that is in large part due to Todd being in the band. So, you know, we kind of picked up the two extra guys as a kind of a bonus thing, originally intended more for the live scenario, but it's benefited us even more because these guys are bringing so many things off of the field to the band as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so we really think that this is the best version ever of Tube Freaks, and you know, the new stuff, we're happy with the recent album, but the stuff that we're working on now is really cool too.
That's awesome. Yeah, now speaking about the videos, I was just, you guys did like, what was it, like 7 or 8 videos for this album? I mean, you did one for almost every song.
Yeah, we did, and we had 2 or 3 more that were almost done that we just kind of never finished, but it was so insane. So this is what I was talking about with Todd. This guy is so creative. I don't know if you saw the one for the song Duracho with the 1950s dancers.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so if you look at it, they kind of look like they're really dancing to the song. And so we were getting ready to release the album, and you know, I'm like, you and I were talking about strategies and stuff, and I'm always trying to think of new ways to do things. And the last time we had done an album, we sort of just dropped the whole album at one time, and we felt that it all was lost because nobody has the attention span to listen to a whole album anymore. So our goal this time was to say, well, why don't we release one song a week over the course of the you know, album release? And so it was the day before we were going to release that first song, and I was going to put it out, you know, maybe like a static YouTube or something with a cover of the art from the album. But then Todd comes to me and he says, he's like, hey, man, I got this video idea for Duracho. And I'm like, yeah? I'm like, you send it on over. So he sent over that video, And I mean, I was rolling on the floor laughing so hard watching these dancers dance to this heavy metal. I was like, this is just so bizarre, man. I said, this is awesome. And so we released that one, and then we went out to this graveyard and filmed like an hour's worth of this garbage footage of me like walking my dog around. And then the next thing you know, he's got this brilliant video with these clouds, because he's a professional video editor.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I mean, so we did all of those videos like on the cheap, which was
That's
great.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, so
there was one that was really freaky, man. It was like all types of like goofy effects. Was it Mind Eraser? I'm trying to think.
Uh-huh.
Where it was like your head that was like singing in like a little animal body and all different like places your head was popping up.
Yeah, that was another one of them. Todd says, he goes, hey, go down in your basement and hook up a green screen and film yourself singing this song. So he didn't even tell me what he was going to do. And because he was pumping these things out once a week. And then he sends over that video, and I'm like, Todd, I say, could you embarrass me anymore? I mean,
of course.
He had my head on a baby. He had me on a monkey.
Right.
Then he had me sitting there with no shirt on doing, like, yoga and stuff. And I was like...
But that stuff is awesome, man. Like, I think, and I say this to any band I talk to, it's there. The world of YouTube is there. Use it to your full capacity, and that's what you guys are doing. I mean, it's awesome. I can't applaud you guys enough.
Well, thank you, man. I mean, it you know, we love it. It can be similarly to what we're talking about with the shows. It can be frustrating when put out all these videos and you think, wow, one of these going to catch on and 5 or 10,000 people will watch it and, you know, a few hundred people see it. So that's a whole nother side of it, you know, that's up for debate. But boy, was it fun doing it.
That's the other thing. That's like trying to, you know, not only trying to find people to view the video, but people to come out to the shows. It's all kind of like this weird... weird question that I wish I knew an answer for.
Well, and you know, I've had this discussion with a lot of people, and I'm not trying to knock on what, you know, anybody's doing, because there's so many good bands out there really putting out good songs. But then there's also a lot of bands that are putting out stuff that, you know, maybe it's not so good or whatever.
Sure.
But it doesn't matter, because they're all taking up space. And
yes.
Trying to get someone's attention on the web or on Facebook or something like that, or YouTube, I mean, there's so much noise out there. And it's
yeah.
not other musicians, but other stuff too. And
right.
And so it's expensive. Like, you put out a good video or have a good post, well, Facebook wants you to pay money for them to
mm-hmm.
show it to other people.
Yep.
Know? And so that can be really frustrating too. So.
Yeah, that's that's very frustrating.
I know.
You know, that's the thing though too. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there, and you know, there's only so much time in a day or attention spans to give, and to try to get yourself above the rest, it's hard. It's very hard.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess you have to keep pushing at it, because, you know, there are ways that things, there are certain guys that have a lot of people that subscribe to their stations, you know, they'll call them like taste makers.
Right.
And or, you know, if you could ever get on like a label, I mean, you look at Relapse Records, that type of thing, when they put out a video, they have like 2 million subscribers on their YouTube station.
Right.
So you get on something like that, and then you can bust through. But for the unsigned band that's not backed by some big financier, it's, you know, it's tough because you, I mean, even we throw some of our own personal money at some of this stuff, but you can only do so much of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough, man. It's freaking tough.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, all right, so let's, you know what, too, the band name, it's funny because I was going through and I was thinking to myself, like, because you guys got, like, kind of a, you know, a grooving, grungy sound to you. I thought you guys, like, love tube amplifiers, and that's where Tube Freaks came from, but it's from, like, a novel or something?
Well, yeah, originally it was written in this novel where it was this guy was talking about people who couldn't stop watching TV. So they were they were in a home for tubal abuse, and they were tube freaks.
Okay.
So that
awesome.
Was just what the guy wrote in this book, and so we were trying to think of a good name, and our original bass player, he was kind of like a surfer, skateboarder guy, and so am I. I'm like a skateboard guy. So Tube Freaks to us was kind of like a surf thing. And then, of course, people who use bongs for whatever they use bongs for. Those are tubes also. So, yeah, there's been lots of different you know, meanings and tube amplifiers, definitely. So we just kind of like to say, hey, it means whatever you want it to mean.
There you go. That works for me.
Well, the hardest part too is that the original spelling had two E's. So in retrospect, we might have even spelled it with an A because people go to try and find the band and they naturally will spell it with a freak with an A.
Right.
And so that's been a little, you know, a little bit of a challenge for us here and there.
You guys, you're making it tougher on yourself.
Well, it's a funny story. But a long time ago, I knew that that was a problem when the web first came out. So, of course, we own the domain tubefreaks.com with the two E's. But back then I said, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and buy Tube Freaks with an A. And then if anybody goes there, I'll redirect them. Well, then the band went through a couple. Yeah, so the band went through like a down period. And you know, they have to keep paying every year for those things. And so after a while I was like, oh, well, whatever, you know. And the next thing you know, it got picked up by a porno thing.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so if you go to tubefreaks.com with an A, don't.
Oh, man. Oh, that's funny. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
So we were like, oh, shit. Now we got people saying that we're a porno act and all this stuff.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, man. So, all right, so where should we send everybody to check you guys out, buy the music, find your social media? We don't want to send them to the porn site.
No, you don't. So you want to go to tubefreaks.com with two E's in freaks. And then the same spelling, you know, Facebook, we're pretty active there, and all of the iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon, all of those things as well, Spotify.
Nice. In all the digital haunts.
That's right.
Awesome. Well, Paul, this was a lot of fun talking to you, man.
You too. I mean, I really appreciate your time. And
yeah, absolutely. And I'll let you know when I'll be sharing this with everybody else.
Okay, and like I said, you know, if there's any opportunity to ever do anything up towards Philly where, you know, we could try to advance, promote, or you know, if it was something big,
right,
you know, getting on to some sort of a show that you knew there was going to be like a crowd, we could even, you know, talk about maybe bringing up a carloads or a bus, and so, you know, we're close enough that we could do that.
Cool. That could be very interesting.
Yeah, so keep us in mind, or if there's any local guys, you know, that might be interested in a trade that you think our bands would sound well together or anything, you know, we really are very interested in breaking into Philly, and so, you know, we'll really appreciate all of your help, Bay.
I will, definitely, for sure, man.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to keep you guys in mind, because I totally dig the album. I was listening to it today.
Great. Well, let us know if we can help with anything else. And again, thank you so much. We're really honored to have been on your show.
Absolutely, man. Thank you.
Okay, Bay. Well, thanks a lot, and we'll talk with you soon.
You got it. Take care, man.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, with the finest stash of your mother nature. Would you like to make
Tony Ray Rocks, there you go. And there they are, the Tube Freaks. And that was Duracho. I think I said that right. I don't pronounce stuff right. You'll probably learn that. And I don't know if it's the Philly in me or just me, which it could be just me. But that's another like killer video they got. I mean, it's got old school black and white dance footage. It's got fucking Evel Knievel. And it's got Tube Freaks music. It's like a trifecta of Tube Freaks perfection. Which, before that, we did the song Mind Eraser. And that video, which is we talked about in the interview, it is just amazing. It's so freaking great. Just seeing Paul's head wherever it lands. And just doesn't skip a beat and just sings along. So that's good stuff. So make sure you check them out, man. Good dude. Seemed like a really cool bunch of guys. Great freaking music. The Tube Freaks. It's TubeFreeks. They're from Maryland. Like them on Facebook. Check out their website. Look them up on YouTube. And just learn to check them out and just like enjoy it. I mean, it's just freaking good rock and roll music. And we can never get enough of that, can we? I didn't think so. You tubefreaks.com. There you go. Doesn't get any simpler than that. So check them out, check out the videos, and support them. Like them, love them, follow them, and buy their music. Buy it. None of that like Spotify BS or anything like that. Go freaking buy the music. So there you go. So all right, everybody, thank you again for tuning in for Tube Freaks Thanksgiving. And check me out. My name is Bay Ragney. You can like me, love me, follow me all over the world of social media as well. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And look up Totally German Entertainment. Like us, love us, and follow us as well. And check out our website, TotallyGermanTV.com. Like us, love us, follow us. We all need your support. Totally Driven, Tube Freaks, everybody. So I hope everybody had an amazing Thanksgiving. Hope everybody has the food sweats like I still do. And I'll be back on Saturday night with another episode of TDR Rocks. I have a ton of new music to play for everybody. So feel free to tune in on Sunday night as well. And check us out. Actually, who do we got next week? We return live next Thursday night. And I just confirmed it last night. We have, if you remember the show, Little House on the Prairie, Nasty Nelly Olson will be one of our guests. So make sure to tune in for that as well. So, all right, everybody. Until next time, thanks again. Stay driven and see ya.